Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening, everyone? Happy Tuesday to you. Welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. Hopefully everyone is having a great Halloween. A lot of stuff going on. Trade deadline in the NFL. Got some moves to talk about. Got four big ones we would definitely want to mention. Everyone seems to be worried about the Warriors and the Cavaliers. Am I worried about the Warriors and the Cavaliers? You'll find out shortly. Eric Bledsoe is still sitting at home. No trade for the Suns, and the Suns don't really seem interested. I'll give you my take on why they don't seem really interested right now. Got this crazy thing called the World Series. Can we top 12 to 13? Can we top a 12 to 13 victory for the Astros? I don't know if we can top that. That game tonight, game six, Astros up 3-2, so we'll talk a little bit about baseball. Football, the poll comes out today. The playoff poll. I don't even have to tell you how the playoff poll is going to shake down. I'm going to give you some things that will definitely happen, and we'll see if I'm right as it gets closer. Like I said, this is the Cave Show. This is PLR, and we are brought to you by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco located Chandler Heights and Alma School in Chandler, Arizona. Let them know PLR sent you, and you will get 10% off of any purchase that you have. You can become a member there. Very easy. You get a locker, backs up to a humidor. You can leave your sticks there. Never have to worry about anything going bad. Most folks do not have. They do not have a humidor at home, so this is your chance. Come there, your nameplate goes on the front, and you can easily sit down, enjoy your sticks, and watch one of the many televisions that are there. That is Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights. In Chandler, Arizona, learn no PLR sent you, and it will take 10% off. Okay, everyone, let's start with football. Let's start with some of these trades. Let's start with some of the deals. Let's start with some of the goings on. Let's start with some of the foolishness, some of the craziness. I just said we're going to start with four different topics. That's how excited I am to talk football today. But let's talk the real deal first before we get into these trades. Dallas, the Cowboys, Ezekiel Elliott. Zeke looks like he lost yet another arbitration case to prolong his season. He has one more shot at this. You know what, folks? I know Dallas does not want to. I know Jerry Jones does not want to. I know he's stubborn. I know he's pig-headed. I know he's used to getting everything he wants when he wants it. I know N-O is not a word in his vocabulary, but I think this time, and it's time to go ahead and let Zeke serve the suspension. If you let him serve the suspension now and your team can stay above water, you can get Zeke back if you make the playoffs. To me, that seems far more important than having him hang around maybe, a couple more weeks, and then something happens, and then he's out for the last six games, or maybe hangs around for three more weeks or four more weeks, and then he's out for the playoffs. It's time just to let that suspension serve. The time has come. The time has gone. I'm not saying he's innocent. I'm not saying he's guilty. I know he's guilty in the eyes of the NFL. Basically, the NFL has their own policies on a lot of things. It is time to allow him to serve that suspension and get on with your season. Go ahead, fight for your playoff spot, and hopefully you get it. What you don't want to do is have him play the entire rest of the season, miss the playoffs, and then miss him six games for next season and miss the playoffs. It's time for him to serve the suspension. Who do they have up next? They have the Niners, the next six. Niners at Redskins, home versus the Chiefs, at the Falcons, home versus the Eagles, home versus the Chargers. And forgive me, I just gave you bad information. It is at home versus the Chiefs, at the Falcons, home versus the Eagles, home versus the Chargers, home versus the Redskins. Three games at home, and then you go to the Giants. Now that's before you end with the Raiders and the Seahawks. Let's give a worst-case scenario. Let's break these games down game by game. Chiefs will be very tough to beat with or without Zeke Elliott. The upside is the game is in your stadium. So let's say even with them or without him, that's a loss. Then you go to the Falcons. You never know what the Falcons are going to do. The Falcons are playing all over the place. One day they look like they went to the Super Bowl last year. One day they don't look like they went to the Super Bowl. Then you got the Eagles. Eagles are the best team in the NFC. Then you got the Chargers. They'll find a way to give you a game back. Then you got the Redskins in your building. Mind you, that Eagles game is in your building. And then you go to the Giants. At worst, you could still end up 3-3. You could still end up 3-3. With or without Zeke in these games, you could end up 3-3. That would put you at 7-6 before he comes back. Then let him play out the games, man. You would have three games left. 7-6. Something tells me you're still in the wild card hunt. It's time. Dallas, it's time. Jerry, it's time. I know you hate losing. I know you hate when it doesn't go your way. But this is one of those times you just got to let it go. I mean, you let your plastic surgery go. That didn't look like it went your way. But this is one of those on-field events that you got to let it go. Zeke, it's time. Serve your suspension, man. We'll see what they do. They'll probably still fight it and drag it out. But it does not help them. The three games that they could lose, they could still lose. They will probably be favored to still lose those games. With or without Zeke. So it is time. Let it go. Talk about some of the trades real quick here. Oh, my goodness. Eagles. This is the difference between teams that are doing well and teams that are doing poorly. Now, don't give me that crap. Well, the Dolphins are still technically in the playoff hunt because they have a winning record. No, they don't. They're the worst team in the NFL with a winning record. If anyone has faith in the Dolphins that lives outside of Miami, you know that there's something wrong with you. The only people who have any faith at all in the Dolphins, maybe the people in that room, and it may not be all of them. I mean, let's think about this season. Your quarterback who should have had surgery last year didn't have surgery last year, so he gets hurt. Your backup quarterback can't play. Sorry, he's a backup quarterback. He could come in, he could mop up games, he could do certain things, but he's not a starter. So then you go out and you get another quarterback. But you get a quarterback who it really didn't seem like he really wanted to play football anymore. I mean, even when he was playing football, if you looked at his face, it didn't look like he wanted to play football. But he definitely was in a booth. He was ready to go. And I'll tell you right now, you offer me $12 million, I'm going to come play too. I'm leaving the booth. I'm going to go play football. But he doesn't really look like he wants to play. He doesn't look all in. And this is a person who used to stick up for Jay Cutler because he was the quarterback of the Bears, and that's my favorite team. But anyway, then it was almost like he had something to play for. This is a guy who's playing because he knows this time next year he'll be calling games. He won't be getting tackled. He won't be getting hit. He'll be collecting his TV money with an extra $12 million in the bank with his model wife and his kid. And he's going to look at everyone who says he's a loser, and he's going to laugh at you because he's a multimillionaire with a model wife with a bunch of money in the bank. The Dolphins aren't there, man. If your quarterback is not there, you're not there. If your coaches are snorting white substances, your team is in trouble. Baltimore isn't even that good. They're a fake good team. And they beat you 40-0. So what do? You have one player that can play a little bit. You trade him. Jerry Jai to the Eagles. And boy, did you. Let me tell you what y'all got back. When I tell you what you got back, you're going to say, you know what? I would have made that trade too. You're going to look, you're going to say, you know what? I don't know why you're freaking out. I don't know why you're tripping. Made that trade too. A fourth round pick. Yeah, you just traded your player that was running for over 200 yards a game last year for a fourth round pick from the Eagles, who are the best team in the NFC. So that pick won't be a low pick. More likely, it'll be a higher pick. So you just basically said, here, you guys go try to win the Super Bowl, and we're going to do everything we can to help you get there. I don't understand that pick. I don't understand that trade. I don't understand that deal. Is this Adam Gase proving a point? Is he upset with Jay Ajayi? So he's going to, when I was back in corporate America, what they call it, leave one smelling in the aisle so everyone else will know that you're for real. Is that what we're doing down in Miami? Is that what the Dolphins decided was their move to make? Leave one smelling in the aisle. Well, the only thing that smells in your aisle is your team. Jay Ajayi to the Eagles. Ticket added to Carson Wentz and the weapons that they have. The backfield, you still have LeGarrette Blount. You still have Smallwood. And now you just added Ajayi. The Eagles claiming he's not going to be the starter. Who really gives a crap who starts the game? We know he's going to get carries. This is another case of the great team got better, and the bad team got duped. Jimmy G, Jimmy Garoppolo, has moved on. He's no longer the backup for the only Tom Brady. He's been traded to the San Francisco 49ers for a second-round pick. And I know everyone said, oh, I thought that Garoppolo was the second coming. We were going to get four first rounds. Three or four second rounds, a third round, a pick, a compensatory pick after the pick was compensatory, and a few other things. Let's be honest, guys. All those quarterbacks that always look great for Mr. Belichick don't always look good for other teams. And then we can say, well, every time he's been in, he's looked great, right? He's technically played about three meaningful games, and he did look good in those three meaningful games. But he went 3-0 in all those meaningful games. He did. But at that time, he also was a field goal away from being 2-1. Oh, but those Belichick knows. He knows what to do with players. Yeah, well, he knows what to do with quarterbacks, and he knows what to do with a quarterback because it's pretty much at the same one, minus about 16 games for the last, I don't know, 17 years. Jimmy Garoppolo was a second-round pick, folks. He played three outstanding games. Helped them win three early regular season games. That's what he did. And, you know, he helped them get to the Super Bowl by not letting the season get away from them. But the Niners are going to win this deal out anyway. They don't even know the quarterback in the first round. They get a quarterback in the second round. If that's what the direction they want to go. I mean, when you stop and think about it, you're going to give – why would you give New England that much? And the Niners didn't. They gave him exactly what he's worth, a second-round pick. And that's great for New England. New England hates paying first-round money. Hates it. Hates it. They do not want to pay anyone. And it's worked for them. You have six good years for them. It's time for you to get your big money. Oh, well, we decided to go in another direction, and Daniel already did here, and we got the bills up next. Any other questions? That's exactly what will happen to you. They don't pay you. You really thought the Patriots were going to pay Garoppolo about $18, $19 million a year to sit behind Tom Brady and just eat up that cap space. You really thought that. If you thought that, I got some land to sell you. And if you're the Niners, good trade for you. You're going nowhere fast. I mean, at least you got a guy. He's under contract for another year to see if he can play. If he can play, you move with him. If he can't play, you draft another quarterback coming out. Just that simple. You save yourself some money. Everyone talked about Kirk Cousins going there. Let's really put that in perspective, too. Kirk Cousins is going to want to get paid. He's going to want to get paid. Kirk Cousins fits more in a team that's almost there, if that makes any sense, then that's a long ways from there. Like, if you're driving from Phoenix to Vegas, you can work with Kirk Cousins. If you're driving from Phoenix to Vermont, you can't work with Kirk Cousins. Because you got too much, you got to get a long way. San Francisco needs a cornerback. I'm still not sold on Carlos Hyde. Who plays their wide receivers? Go ahead, tell me. You don't know who does. They can use a tight end. They can use some more defense. They can use some offensive line help. They can use too much to tie up $28, $29, $30, $31 million in Kirk Cousins. That money could be spread out on a lot of needs, and they have a lot of needs. They're not the Eagles who's getting a B-plus in math, and they go out and get a tutor to get an A, which is what they did when they got JHI. San Francisco's failing everything. Like, extra credit doesn't help them. They're getting zeros on extra credit. So everything is bad. So the last thing you want to do is go out and get a quarterback that's going to cost you a mint and take all the money away from all these other needs that you have. So they did the right thing, and Patriots did the right thing. Like I said, they don't want to pay anyone. That's how they roll. So Jimmy G is the Niners. Is a member of the San Francisco 49ers. We'll find out when he's going to play, if he's going to play, what he's going to do, all that good stuff coming up soon. I find that trade a good trade all the way around. Makes you think about Kirk Cousins. Something inside of me says he's going to end up in Arizona. I could be wrong. But anyway, last trade I'm going to go over, I believe, will be the Dwayne Brown trade. Texans just played the Seahawks. Dwayne Brown wasn't going to play. He was at odds with Texans. Seahawks offensive line, they can't block anybody. All that magic you're watching the magic of Russell Wilson do his thing. That's exactly what you're watching. So now they got him a little help. Hopefully he can block someone for them that's trying to kill Russell Wilson. You know, the Seahawks are that team where you just keep saying, oh, you know, they're not as good as they. Oh, that defense looked a little shaky. Deshaun Watson. Yeah, they looked a little shady again against that. Then they go and play the Rams. Yeah, the Rams are up and coming. Rams, you know, the Rams were supposed to score. They're going to put some points up on them. Yeah, no, they didn't. And Seattle won the game. That Deshaun Watson, he's throwing that ball all over the field. Yes, he was, man. Look at that touchdown throw. Yes, he did. And somehow Seattle still won that game, and they're still tied for first place in their division because that's what Seattle does. And we will talk about Legion of Boom. We'll talk about the defense. We'll talk about the running game when there is none. We'll talk about everything except Russell Wilson, who is an incredible quarterback. I still say there's 5 to 7 teams that have great quarterbacks in the NFL. That's it. That's it. The rest of them have, well, I shouldn't say the rest of them. Then there's that set that have quarterbacks that if you have a good defense and everything else falls right for you, everything falls just right, everything is in place, not only can you go to the playoffs, a couple things bounce right, you can win a Super Bowl. Everything else, those days of you see the Giants winning with a great defense, or you see the Denver Broncos a couple of years ago with Peyton Manning, who was way past Peyton Manning days, win with a great defense, and they're only asking him not to throw interceptions and get people to the huddle and get them lined up right and for those 2-yard out passes, and hopefully they can go for 5-yard out passes and you can move down the field. Those days are over. You need a quarterback that can play. And you need a quarterback that can move out of the way of harm. And everyone says, well, Tom Brady can't scramble. Tom Brady does some crazy things. I saw last weekend someone was coming to sack him. He ducked. I know you're going to say that's so simple. Wow, that sounds – he ducked. He just ducked. Guy went right over top of him. So, no, he can't run around. And, no, he doesn't like it when people are at his ankles. No quarterbacks likes it when people are at their ankles. But he's Tom Brady, so he's effective at any type of situation you put him in. But Seattle has Russell Wilson, who's been called a game manager for so long that if anyone still calls him a game manager, either you do not watch football, you need to stop watching football, or you have no brain for yourself and you only listen to other people that call him a game manager, because this guy can flat out play. He has some help. And the Texans, they got better too. They have Jeremy Lane, who had lost his starting job anyway. So that one worked out, I think, for everyone. I think if you look at the trade and say, well, who's going to be impacted right now? What's going to make the move the best move right now for both teams? I go with the Seahawks and the Texans. If you go, who's going to have the best move for right now with the other team just being punked, then Miami got punked and Philadelphia got better. I don't believe in draft grades, but if you had to give them, Miami gets an F super minus. A couple of things we want to talk about before we get out of here. Baseball World Series is tonight. Game 6. Something inside of me says pick the Dodgers. It's saying Dodgers, 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 Dodgers. I'm picking the Astros. This team can hit. I heard the weather report. Yeah, I'm talking baseball weather report. No, I'm not talking right now. Someone said, well, one of the weathermen said the game in L.A. tonight will be about 35 degrees cooler than it was for game 1 or 2. And in game 1 or 2 in L.A., when it's cooler, balls don't fly off the bat as easily. So you hit less home runs. I don't give a crap. The Astros have proven 2 things to me. One, if their pitching lets them down, they hit. If their hitting lets them down, they pitch. Okay, how is that for breaking down a game? I don't need 6 hours to break down a game. I don't need 7 hours to break down what this pitcher did. Everyone says, well, the balls are juice. They can't throw sliders. Pitchers can't throw sliders the way they used to because they can't grip the ball the way they used to. And the gripping of the ball and the slide, neither team with those sliders. One team's hitting them out of the park more than the other team. Dodgers are hitting the hell out the ball, but the Astros are hitting the hell out of the ball. That's different. So I'm going with the Astros. The Astros, there's something. Listen, every year you can find it. There's a team. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But every year there's a team where it seems like there's just something about that team that no matter what goes wrong, you still have the feeling it's their time. You get that feeling with them. It's their time. Last year was the Cubs. No matter what, down 3-1, here come the Cubs. Now it's 3-2. Oh, Cleveland's going to win. Down 3-2. Oh, they got 2 games, and Cleveland closes up. 3-3. Ooh, the pressure's on Cleveland. Ah, oh, they're still down. Here comes, extra inning. Oh, Cleveland will win this. No. There's certain teams, certain years. It feels like their year. It feels like it's Houston's year. It just feels like it. Down three runs. What do you do? Hit the run home against Clayton Kershaw. Down 3 runs. What do you do? You come back in. You go up 3 runs. Now here come the Dodgers. So what do? You answer right back. It's just, it's their year. They traded for Verlander from nights like this. And I just think this is the night Verlander comes through. It's a little cold out there. It's in Detroit for 72 years. It's always chilly in Detroit. My money's not in Houston. Lastly, before we get out of here, a couple things. Eric Bledsoe is still a member of the Phoenix Suns. I don't want to say held hostage, but come on, guys. They're saying there's no deal for him just yet. They're not going to rush to make a deal for him just to make a deal. They're not going to make a bad deal just to make a deal. There's no timetable. paying him $15 million. Doesn't really matter that he's sitting at home. Makes $82,000 a day to sit at home. Doesn't really matter. There's no timetable. They're just going to do what's right. Don't want to take a bad deal. Don't want to take just a deal for the sake of taking a deal. Want to do so. There is no deal. From what I'm hearing, there's no deal. Every deal has been a crappy deal. I guess that's just taking a deal to take a deal, but there's no deal. I know I could be told that I'm guessing. I don't know what's going on. Only the Suns front office really knows what's going on, and that's true. Only the Suns front office really know what's going on. But guys, last I checked, your assets don't get better by not playing. He sits and sits and sits. What good will that do you in the long run? His last game is the last game everyone's seen. He's not getting any better sitting. He's not increasing his trade value by saying there's no difference. I don't, unless the Suns are waiting for someone on some team hurt and then have a need to have to go out and get him and overtrade, I don't see that happening. I really don't. I don't see that happening. I don't see, I mean, and no one can see an injury, duh, and I understand that. But let's look at real quick, a couple of the teams the Suns had in mind. Let's say Milwaukee won't pull the strings, and they'll give up Malcolm Brogdon. And he is Rookie of the Year. He's a very nice player, very nice player. He's coming from playing, you know what makes a nice player an even nicer player? A player that's nice to play with that player. So it's a little bit easier when you're passing to Jabari Parker and you're passing to Chris Middleton and you're passing to the Greek Freak for you to look better than when you're not passing to those three people. And if Brogdon comes here, he will not be passing to the Greek Freak, to Jabari Parker, or to Chris Middleton. But Bledsoe was. So if Bledsoe looked good here, passing to players that aren't those players, and that's no disrespect to the players here. But won't he look better if that happens? Anyway, I don't know. I say kiss, make up. Play the asset. Paul, what if the asset gets hurt? Well, this method isn't working out anyway. And real quick, I'm hearing everybody, what's wrong with the Warriors? What's wrong with the Cavaliers? They look terrible. The season wouldn't have even started till tonight last year. Love, this is just talking to hear yourself talk. This is a topic, just to have a topic. This is a slow day. Let's think of something to talk about. There's nothing wrong with the Warriors. If you don't believe me, ask the Los Angeles Clippers. There's nothing wrong with the Cavaliers. It's an 82-game season, not a 7-game season. Thanks for joining us. This is the Cave. Follow us on social media at the Sports Cave on Instagram, Facebook fan page, and on Twitter. Make sure you go to the website, sportscave.com. Stay up on what we have happening and all that good stuff. Follow me directly, PLR, on sports. So until tomorrow, hopefully everyone has a really good night. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care. This is The Cave Show. This is PLR.